Yeah, this is significant, huh? Adding up to this point.
Milestone.
Yeah, it's a milestone. Definitely.
Yesterday I was explaining to students that I was waiting for the teacher training course, and I had an idea how it's gonna, you know, like you visualize how it's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
But then when gentlemen arrived, then I realized we are having a teacher's training course, just in a different format. It's not about skills and knowledge.
Yeah.
It's how it actually, because everybody is here, we're all teaching our own programs.
Yeah.
So it's I mean, I'm still waiting for the for the course. But this is already on that level, then we can actually discuss things and appreciate for different points, because when you teach, you have a different perspective on the materials.
Mm-hmm.
It's not it's not exactly the same.
Well, it's just the teachers, basically the Vedic system is you run through it, then you can teach it. So we can see is that there's some lack in the modern academy that you go through it and you can't teach.
Mm-hmm.
There's something wrong with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like if I take you in the kitchen and show you how to cook and all that, you could show someone else how to cook. So if you've gone through their whole course and spent, 12 years or whatever it is, and you can't teach, there's something wrong. I mean, seriously wrong.
Yeah.
You know, even you do more, it's 12 years and then another 4 years, so 16 years or 15 years, you still are not, you have to get the degree, you have to go through the course. So there's something seriously wrong with that educational system. Because it should be, you learned it, you can teach it. So therefore, for us, a teacher's training course would simply be making you aware of already the things you know and the tools you have to use. But it's not that it'll teach you how to teach. That's like saying anybody who does an MBA course, then they can do business. There's not one person on the planet who's ever done business by doing an MBA course. They were already a businessman when they went, or if they weren't, they will never be. So there's some really serious flaws in the contemporary system because of this. They really think that, we make you train. That's why, we have that thing that, Bhakti, how do you call it, Gina or whatever it is, that she's now, the authority in the temple on the Bhakti Shastri, and devotees that have been Prabhupada disciples that have been preaching for the last 40 years are qualified to give the class. This is 100% bogus system. And I'm just being kind by saying 100%. We would say a little more, but people say it's extreme. But it's absolutely bogus. Why is it that she knows? What does she do? You go through a 10-day course. Now, where in the world you can do a 10-day course and now you can be a teacher? Unless it's like a yoga studio or something like that. But in an academic field, you don't put in your 3 years, you don't get a degree. And it's getting worse, because when I was a kid, I remember you do a BA. If you did another 6 months, you could get a BA. It just took 6 months. In other words, they knew you had it. It's just a matter of refining so you knew what to do. But now you have to do a full 3-year course to actually be a teacher. So that means the system's getting worse.
And that is only to just be a teacher. If you want to be a higher level academic, then you have to have a master's degree.
Yeah, then you have to do it like that. So there's something going wrong in the whole system. It's falling apart. The same time as the false ego is increasing.
Without any proportion.
Yeah, no proportion. Yeah, so the Vedic system is about your practice, because what you teach is real. What you teach is what you're going to use. It's not just something, it's not filled. As you were saying yesterday, the hermeneutics, the first point of Jaimini on the hermeneutical aspect. The first point is there's not one word in the Vedic literature that's fill. Not one cha, no one iti, not one tu, nothing. Everything has a direct meaning. There's no such thing. You know, so even, and he goes on to say, as that means, also there's no sentence that has nothing. And there's no shloka that has nothing. Because sometimes you see a run of shlokas as a major point, and then there'll be some explanation, another major point. Those ones in between are still, you know, showing that those points and bringing you to the next level. And it's that the chapter, the shlokas then fit into the chapter fits into the, you know, cantos into the book into the Vedic literature. It's all perfectly connected. So there's nothing superfluous in the, you know, yes.
In fact, as Prabhupada said, I think, in the first canto, that the qualification is one needs to know the six systems. Mm-hmm. Basically, what we are doing is the teacher training course. Mm-hmm. Only it like needs to be put into the words which everybody also appreciates.
Yeah.
Doing the Nyaya, Mimamsa, and then the Vedanta is the
six systems. Yeah, you become aware. So that's an action. So one you could say is you go through that, then you could be a very solid teacher. Yes, you can teach what you're teaching at that. The point is if you know more than the person before you, you can teach. You know, they use the system. That's the fun part, is it's become so bad. The teachers don't teach that much. The senior students are tutors for the other students. But before, you didn't have that system. The teacher taught it. But now the tutors, I mean, students have to teach it. Because, you know, what does the teacher do? I don't know. Drinks tea or something?
He's getting salary.
Huh? Yeah, gets the salary. You know, but it's a Vedic system that you have these tutors. Then it just makes it more efficient. So if the teachers were as efficient as they were before, and you had these tutors, then what would be the need of getting an education degree? Other than it's some small little thing to just make sure you understand all the tools that are at hand. But even then, if you were, you could make it clear otherwise. But otherwise, then for those who want to go into the field, you just have a review. And it's all stuff they already know, but they maybe didn't put it together in their mind and organize it. But then it would be exactly what you're doing. Yes?
So these PhD and MBI degrees are not enough for working in university. Every year we should print one article in special medicines, and we should pay for that $1,000.
And you have to pay for it.
To be published.
You have to pay to give the article.
Yes.
To publish the article.
Used to be that they wanted your article.
It's one special system inside.
Yeah. So the Vaishnavas have taken over.
Yeah.
Completely.
In order to keep your PhD, you have to pay annual dues and publish it.
You have to pay a dues also.
Well, that isn't that what that is part of it?
Well, we have one of the scopes. System, and we need to print our articles in it. And if we and we should pay from $500 to $1,000, and if it's more expensive, it's more
often. Better.
Oh, okay. So oh, you mean you get more in the front?
It'll be in a better position in the journal.
Yeah, it's not a fee. You just pay for the article to be published.
Okay.
It's the same as the fee, just.
Sure.
And then how much do they pay, how much do they pay a professor per year?
Per year, they don't count it, it's per month.
No, just if you work in university, you need to have articles. Is that?
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying you have to have that article. But how much do they pay you in salary a month or a year? $500 a month. So that's $500 a month, or 6,000
a year.
Maximum. So that means it could be even less. So you may be paying from 16% to 25% of your income back to them just to be able to
maintain your position. This is good.
From the business perspective, it's fabulous. From the Brahminical, that's crazy.
It doesn't seem sustainable either.
Do they lose professors? So they drop out because they can't maintain it? They
don't.
You don't get
left. Yeah, they do.
That's what I'm saying. They drop out because they can't read the article, they don't have the money, or they don't.
Because they have too much control. As we can't say what we think, we should only say everything about the ideology.
Okay, very liberal.
They also tell you what you can publish.
So oh, really? So they can only tell you what you can publish.
Is that what it is? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, they don't care, actually. They don't read it.
Oh, they don't read it. It's like you paid the money then. Okay. So it's not exactly like a scholarly journal. It's just their magazine.
It's only must be something.
Okay. Because before it was, you had journals, and they were like respected in the academic community.
And then they were used to, you know, further other
people. Yeah, yeah, and other people could quote from it and stuff like that. It was.
It's also like
that. So it is a journal, but you have to pay to be in the journal. Before, they were after people to put stuff in the journal.
And in that, they will also use like some are paid places. You can't access to that journal in internet without paying some money to them.
Okay, then you have to pay also.
To see it.
Oh. Because everybody will use it as a quote or a bibliography or something, so it's like easier than the books.
And in general, Maharaj, it's like if you want to be an assistant professor, after doing your doctorate, then you have to go work somewhere as a research associate, something. Then you will be recognized as an assistant professor in top colleges. From assistant to associate professor, then you have to produce at least 2 or 3 PhD students. From associate to professor, then all this politics, this, that, along with the constantly publishing, then also you need to place it the authorities. And from professor, then you become senior professor. So all this, what Mataji is telling, is just to maintain your ladder and keep going.
Senior professor is dead.
Yes, it's in one sense, that's what you call head of department.
So head of department is always posthumous, anybody died.
That's the highest you go, but the other ones then go in more administrative things, then you can become the director.
Wow.
Russia didn't join to Western system of education, and of course they are more easy to be PhD and to get some degree, because they appreciate knowledge and you
know. Oh, okay. But you're saying your place went with Bologna.
Russia, you should not pay for that. But in other countries, you join it to this Bologna platform.
Really? So it's actually a scene. It's not just they follow. It's actually you have to join it.
No,
many countries.
Community of.
Yeah, but I'm saying that they're controlling and they're trying.
Yeah.
Because before it was just you. Means you like their system, so you used it, and now it's a controlled thing for you to be involved.
Yeah, also it's a matter of prestige.
But you're Bologna?
Yeah, if you.
Bologna is the Italian way of saying the word. In America, you say baloney. And if something's baloney, it means it's completely bogus, it's completely useless.
Yeah. My dad, before we were allowed to hear curse words, my dad would say we're full of baloney.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when we turned 3 years old,
when you turned 3, then
it was a different word.
Yeah.
And since I was the youngest, and so I heard it from.
Okay.
So it's kind of you.
Yeah, no, it's like the so much off of, and so much control. At the same time, as they're the ones that claim to be the liberal and bringing out all these socialistic kind of mentalities and ideas, but they're totally capitalistic. And you know, basically, and that controlling, I think you call that fascism, right? Is it? I'm not sure exactly.
Totalitarian.
Yeah. They're like totalitarian capitalists. But they claim to be, you know, broad-minded intellectual liberals. It's like very, very strange.
Nowadays, everyone knows if you want to be a degree, you need to at least sell one flat.
Sell one flat. Okay.
means you sell your flat, you live outside, but then you have
you live in your car, but you're a PhD. So that's why the university have big parking lots, so all the professors can live in their car. You know, so
we have starving artists. You guys have starving doctors.
Starving doctors.
Yeah, yeah.
It used to be free, the education.
Yeah, in USSR. And it was actually very, very
I mean, I remember as a kid, it wasn't very expensive.
It was completely free.
You know, I mean, state school was completely free, but the university, I think it wasn't very much. And I think,
Mine was free.
For your free, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Here, so
but we had also, you could pay also.
Right.
If you don't get good marks to enter the 3-1, then you pay, you still get it, but you pay. So that was the competition to get the best marks, so you don't pay. You
get you don't pay. That would be interesting. And then the rich kids don't bother.
They just pay. But those who have brain, they actually went through the whole system for free.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
But it stopped after the 17 year old.
Yeah. And completely, everything became business.
Yeah, that's so wild.
So but before, it was a matter of prestige, that's what they said, the doctor and the engineer.
Yeah,
now they are.
But did you ever see the book called it's like political cartoons, and it's a group of them by one, you know, cartoonist, and it's called Dead Lawyers and Other Such Pleasant Thoughts. You've seen it?
No, but
I'll give it to you to read. It's quite fun. You know, it had what do you call it? It has like a castle, you know, in the corners you have those turrets at the top, and in the four corners there's, you know, guys in suits with briefcases, you know, standing like this at the post at the four corners, and it says early defense lawyers. Or medieval defense lawyers or something like that.
One of the kids' father was telling that he went to the university just to get rid of going into the army. And then you are in university, they will not touch you at all. As long as you keep studying.
Yeah.
In Israel is the same. You have to sign up for the army that you will give them.
Your time. They're very clever. And then they use you with all the abilities you gain in the university. Instead of being shooter in the army or do like a simple service, now you're educated, okay, now you can work for us.
Yeah. Now you do the drones.
Right? Yeah, you do drones or programming or what. Yeah, it's free service. You have to do it.
3 years.
Okay, so you're still doing it 3 years.
Yeah.
It's just that you do it after your degree.
Yeah.
But also you sign for more.
I have a friend that became a doctor. The military paid for him to become a doctor. And then he had to work for the military as a doctor for so many years without. You
know. Yeah.
And then finally he could go in.
But you can also do a career in the army.
Yeah, in the army.
After you finish those years,
many people stay.
Then they will pay you more and you will get
salary.
Yeah.
And you become an officer. they do give good conditions, but if you are legitimate, you want to study, they allow you.
Okay.
You have to have good marks.
But you have to have good marks.
Yeah, the rest of them. They understand that.
They have to tell there's a difference between you and a grunt, right?
And there's no possibility to pay money.
Now you have to have good marks,
because
it's very expensive.
So if you're rich, then only you can do it. That's so strange.
Or you have connections.
Yeah. I guess if you went back in time, because poor people from wealthy families, they could go to school. They would go and study, but then they would be all your, you know, doctors, lawyers, and theologians, and all that. And the general people would just do their trade. You know, if your family were carpenters, you learned carpentry and became a master carpenter.
You know those stories that we have also in this, that those who were not so qualified from those families that really wanted to learn,
bright people, they came from the village.
And all those guys, and that's their story. So they got it from the roof, something they heard.
Yeah, could hear it through.
But that's rare.
No, that's rare. Because it was cold also.
Cold.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Lying on a cold roof in the middle of winter.
Yeah, that's how they discovered him, because they fell down.
Okay.
Got frozen.
Frozen almost to death.
It was a sloped roof.
Of course. Yeah,
oh, I thought it was a flat roof.
No, it's
that's
European.
Right.
There's no flat. No flat in Europe.
Not Middle East. No, but this guy was he's in the Old Testament.
This starts from Greece.
Oh, that's...
This is the first time when you see this flat.
No, but, I mean, one of the ones you're talking about, he said he's in the Bible.
No. He was in the mid-century.
17th century.
He was a very famous invented a lot of things.
I don't know, but I remember my rabbi telling me about that.
Yeah, there was a different story. The one where Jesus was talking in a room and people couldn't get in. They wanted someone to heal him, so they put a hole in the ceiling and dropped him to the roof. Is that what you're talking about?
No. This is way before.
That's a Russian one from the time of.
Okay, but I think it just seems to be a standard thing. So
yeah.
If you can't get in, then you listen through the roof. So.
Yeah, it's a pattern.
Yeah, okay. So it's just
because that's how you could get it to hear from there, because the windows, I'm not sure, but...
Well, they can see you there, the roof, then.
Whatever is the roof. Anyway, and also the heating stuff was very
nice. So the roof would be a little warm.
Also.
Hmm. Okay, well, that's a plus.
That's the movie I saw.
So actually, he was up there to be warm, but then since it was there, then he listened and he picked something up, and they were impressed by it.
He was a very smart person, according to the history. One of the smartest in Russia in those days.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Very famous.
We had our guy in Chaitanya Charitamrita, milk drinking Brahmachari.
Linikatan.
The milk drinking Brahmachari. He was hit as
I Oh, yeah.
Srivas Thakur.
Srivas Sangha.
No. Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, but that didn't work out. That was about talking.
He wanted to learn. He wanted to share something.
He came for experience, which he was not qualified for.
But he came to the right system. So.
But he wasn't on the roof. See, if he was on the roof, maybe that. See, that was the thing. Because if you hide in the room, then you're cheating. If you're on the roof, then you know. Okay, then Bhakti Sandarbha. Adhyayana 1, Adhikarna. Oh, Adhikarna 1. Okay. Depiction of the Bhakti Yoga process. Page 20. The need of the spirit soul is that he wants to get out of the limited sphere of material bondage and fulfill his desire for complete freedom. He wants to get out of the covered walls of the great universe. He wants to see the free light and the spirit. The wind blowing in his hair. Okay. That complete freedom is achieved when he meets the complete spirit, the personality of Godhead. There is a dormant affection for God within everyone. Spiritual existence is manifested through the gross body and mind in the form of perverted affection for gross and subtle matter. Therefore, we have to engage ourselves in occupational engagements that will evoke our divine consciousness. This is possible only by hearing and chanting the divine activities of the Supreme Lord, and any occupational activity which does not help one to achieve attachment for hearing and chanting the transcendental message of Godhead is said herein to be simply a waste of time. This is because other occupational duties, whatever ism they may belong to, cannot give liberation to the soul. Even the activities of the salvationists are considered to be useless because of their failure to pick up the fountainhead of all liberties. The gross materialist can practically see that his material gain is limited only to time and space, either in this world or in the other. Even if he goes up to the Swarga Loka, he will find no permanent abode for his hankering soul. The hankering soul must be satisfied by the perfect scientific process of perfect devotional service. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.8 purports. Purports? More than one? Oh, it's going to say it. With a set of part slow power with many parts. Okay, now, if Dharma, by not taking support of Vasudeva, does not produce taste for descriptions of the Lord's pastimes, katasu, it will not produce results, shrama. Right, so the actual result means if you get any material result, then, you know, that's there. You could say that's a result, but since it's temporary and it doesn't do anything for the soul, then it actually is a waste of time for the soul. So you have to be able to get. So one would say, oh, but, you know, but we have to have this. But the point is if you include the Lord, the results come. Just like, let's say, Krishna is mentioning the point of the material energy is a separated energy. So separated means you don't see the personality in the energy, you know? And so that means the mechanics of the energy follows God's law, so everything, endeavor we do, we get a result from that. But we only get that temporary result of that transformation of the material energy. Right? But if you see it in context of Krishna, how you're doing this to please the person, because it's his rules and his laws, then you're going to get that, you know, for the body, but the most important is for the soul, you're going to get the transcendental. And so when this body is finished, those temporary things will be left, but the eternal will remain. So it's the same activity, you just have to add Krishna. But that adding Krishna is not that, yeah, we added Krishna, it's about Krishna. That's the prominent thing, remembering Krishna, being absorbed in Krishna.
I'm just thinking how... Because mind is used to a certain way of thinking, and what you explain is from lower level bring it to a higher level. But what actually happens, even to me personally,
right.
it's, you know, from higher level sometimes it drags you to a lower level, and you actually convinced by that lower explanation. Like recently, I give an example. You know, I always know that Tilak is really good for your spiritual advancement. You know, it's a footprint of the Lord and a Tulasi. You know, I know all the explanations connected to the Krishna consciousness. But then recently I heard one devotee, guru, who gives initiation, he's trying to convince you know, his disciples that to, you know, like Urdhva Pundra is one of the Pancha Samskaras.
Right.
So he explains to them during the ceremony very scientifically. He gives the top explanation, and then just to convince them, he says that if you massage this point as many times during the day, the better. Then you get, and he gives, you know, all for the brain, for the body, for the subtle body, this and that. And I felt actually, I mean, it's embarrassing, more convinced to put more time, because sometimes I'm just lazy, or, you know, you don't feel like. But now I'm like, yeah, man, you gotta put Tila, because it's actually affecting your brain, and there's a spot and the third eye and then whatnot. So it's, and I've also heard devotees, like, for example, following Ekadasi or Vrata or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So from the, there's an explanation by Srila Prabhupada, like, do it for Krishna, he likes it.
Right.
But then they kind of, we're not completely convinced, but then you bring it to metaphysical, it's more interesting. You bring it to physical, yeah, I'm going to do it.
Yeah,
so sometimes it reverses.
Yeah.
And it's just...
Yeah.
It's like Maharaj, that example you gave years ago. Well, I'm sure you said about
the cold shower.
The cold shower, yeah. How it makes you more effulgent, and then all of a sudden people are dying, and they're like, oh yeah, I'll take the cold shower.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a... Yeah, makes you more attractive. Yeah, means effulgence is one of them. You have more because the aura is greater. But it also creates that. When I was working with Krishna Kshetra, because this would have been in the 80s, so I thought, who's going to care about that? That's for the karma kanda. So we took it out. So if I had known today, we would have put that first.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Everybody's
you know,
getting
how you say gets rid of pimples, you know, like that.
Your hair grows better.
Yeah, yeah. More silky flowing hair. Longer eyelashes. Yeah, yeah. Smoother
white
skin.
Whiter
teeth.
Yeah.
Whiter teeth. You know,
it's, you know. Did you see all the young girls?
How you say, you know, what do you call it? Fingernails without all the little ridges on them, you know? That's,
all the disciples of. What we ask them are doing.
Yeah, that's what, that's the whole thing. That's what your six schools are. The six schools, they're all disciples of Vasudeva. Because you generally see is we're always, you know how you say, trashing, you know, the six schools. But there's one or two places where it's mentioned how they knew what the standard was, but they wrote this so that people who were not on the standard, didn't have faith in that, would at least take some aspect, according to their conditioning, the Vedic literature, and then have the possibility to move forward. Mm. You know, like what I was talking before about that level of that, that's so like hardcore of our thing. But that's what Jaimini is teaching. Mm. But he's teaching it so that you know that every shloka has a meaning so you can use it properly in the yajna for karma kanda.
Basically, don't sit idly.
Yeah, you have to do something.
Do something. Actually.
You know, so avideya, you can't just have knowledge, you have to do something. Because that's just things that you study the mantras, but if you don't know how to use them, or you study the philosophy, you don't know how to use it, that's a waste of time. So he put the emphasis on the karma. Because otherwise people would just sit back and do nothing. But actually, that's why Abhideya is the main thing. Serving Krishna, you have to have the knowledge. But then we'll drop the knowledge. You know? And so then the other ones talk about with knowledge, you'll get rid of ignorance, you'll get free from material entanglement. They try to make these things. So the essential points that they're making are actually from Vedanta philosophy, but because they've been removed and put in the context of karma, jnana, yoga, therefore then they take on that flavor. But that's why we can take, you know, the 16 Pardarthas from Gotama, but we won't take anything else. You know? From the yoga, then exactly how the mind gets focused on the Lord and remembrance, and that will take that and nothing else. So this part also, this Vimamsa part from Jaimini will be taken. You know? Does that make sense? You know, certain aspects of the atomic theory we talk about. Because it originally comes from Vaishnava Vedanta. You know, because Vyasadeva's teaching. So he's teaching, you know, Vedanta. His students are hearing, but then they take up the responsibility to deal in those areas. So, you know, and so from what I can see is these are set areas, so there's always someone doing it. So, you know, like Brahma's a position. So someone documenting the six schools will be positions that, you know,
every creation will happen,
or every Kali Yuga it'll happen. Or, so you can always say Jaimini said in any age it'll be the same thing. It might, the shlokas might be put together a little bit differently or something. You know, it's like in the Puranas, you get slightly different Kalpa Veda. You know, like for R1, then the demigods were bringing the mountain. The Mandana mountain, and then it dropped on them, they got squashed, and so then Vishnu had to come and revive them, and then Garuda carried it, and then put it on in the ocean, and then from there they started churning, but it sunk, so then Kurma then sat underneath. So you get the full story. But in some other Purans, it just says that they're going to do this, so Garuda carried the mountain, put it on the back of Kurma, and then they got together and they started churning. So it's just either for that group they only told that much of it, or in that pastime that's the way it worked. You know, there's variety. So you get the idea of the variety as a Jambavan when they were talking about, you know, when they were building the bridge, and he's explaining all the different ways they, you know, in previous pastimes they got to Lanka. You know, they have to get to Lanka. That's going to be a main thing. But it's just how they got there, you know. It's like whether they windsurfing or, you know, how you used a pogo stick with the special mantras on it so it wouldn't sink in the water, or, you know. whether they took a, you know, I say one of those bullet trains, you know, maglev or something,
yeah,
something like that. And, you know, it's just they had different performance. When they swam, you know, when they swam, shot from cannons, you know, that's them. You know, after the first one went, then they had breakfast, you know, and then after that, then they started like that. Because, what is it? It's puffed rice, right? The Quaker, or who's it? Puffed rice? One of the puffed rices. It's shot from guns. So they have these big cannons, and they boom, and then out comes the puffed rice, and the kids are sitting eating it. And they do that to the 1812. 1912. You should know 1812. Hmm. No. Where's the guy? It's 1812 Overture. Russian composer. It's about the French coming and being beaten by Russia.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and in the end it has the cannons and the bells. And
yeah,
that one. So they use that part with the cannons and then the puff rice. No. Gotta make a buck, right? Yeah, so then that whole thing of that there's that variety. Each time this will be slightly different, slightly unique, but at the same time as the eternal apricot is always doing that. So it'll just be, what's apricot will be aspects of those. Or something unique itself, you know, like the childhood pastimes, you know, growing up like that, that's unique to the Bomaliga. Because in the apricot, then he's always at that, a certain age for those devotees. So Mother Yashoda is always at that small age. Right? At the same time, she's there in other pastimes also, because she's a mother, so even if he's Kishore, she'll be there. But it's you know, as a support of those pastimes. So like when he's Kumara, then she'll be the central devotee in those pastimes. So it all goes on at once.
Yeah. I have a question. If students begin Krishna consciousness, if they can be, if they don't feel inspiration, just to do some bhakti activity for Krishna's satisfaction, can we motivate them by such examples to be disciplined or it's not?
Yeah, you can, but it means you should explain the top, bring it down to that, but then you should bring it back again. You should say, but that's not the reason we put on tilak. We don't put it on for that. These are the side benefits you get from it. It's about the pleasing Krishna with your devotion. Like, does Krishna need to put on tilak for this? No, but he puts on tilak because he likes wearing tilak. It's part of the beauty. So therefore, then, that's what goes on. So you have to take it back to there. But if you're inspired because, you know, by this, then, you know, your head will become like, you know, what is it, Mega Mind or whatever that guy's in, you know, like that, and then, yeah, go for it. You know?
One devotee, once he has had a dream about he said, the merchant, if you will pursue, you will get 20 times more results from each spiritual activity.
Yeah, I think it works, but same. But ultimately, it should be please Krishna. You know, so you have to at some point, maybe at that time, you say because you've already said it. But at other times, then you should. In other words, the pure devotional aspect has to be emphasized. That's also a aspect of. An aspect of the hermeneutics. It's not the primary aspect, but it's how you can understand what is real. You know, is what is repeated, what is emphasized, what is glorified.
Yeah.
Yeah, some days it go fine, and other days it's just. Yeah. So the thing is it has to be mentioned again and again and again. I mean, it's just like, you know, been hearing lectures from, you know, some kind, and all that, and then Atmatattva has pointed out Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana, that this is what's there. And it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we had the one shloka, where Lord Chaitanya says that this is what it is. And I thought there's one shloka like that, you know. And many people thought it was a bit thin, you know, that, okay, one shloka, and you're bringing out this whole Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. And then I thought, you know, it's there, and you can see it in the purports where he's going, he's going, I see this is Sambandha Abhideya. But then, I'm listening to the lectures, Prabhupada's constantly using the terms. And he was using them since 66. He used even more of those things. Then, when we were going through the shlokas for the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's, I think it's 5 times it's mentioned.
Yeah, and then more, because the one chapter is going through each. And so in the translation, it won't say, but in the verse it's there.
Yeah.
So in the translation, it's just saying, you know, the process is about the data for the goal. So what I did was, anytime it was mentioned in the verse, I would throw the brackets in there.
In
the translation, it was more obvious. Okay. Otherwise, it's subtle, people won't pick it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a whole, it might even have been multiple chapters that were explaining through it, but then there are also those direct verses.
Okay, so it's like 5 direct, or?
Yeah.
And then there's another so many.
Yeah,
so this is so many times mentioned, but you just don't see it. You know, it probably didn't constantly, every time, talk about pure devotional service, we just kind of, you know, it would fall by the wayside. So that's the thing, you have to. Yes?
And we'll see now how all the verses, major verses of Bhagavatam, is about Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana. Sandarbhas.
Yes.
Like this one particularly shows how all the 12 cantos, which represents the Abhideya aspect, like that.
Okay. Is that something that makes sense? So you can use those. Make sure that it's something that you know is there, don't just say it. You know what I'm saying? Don't tell them that, what do you call it? That if you do this, then instead of 73 virgins on the couches, you'll get 92. You know, don't tell them stuff like that. You know, it should be something from Shastra. Sorry?
I was thinking that this would get a check. Like, when you get there, nobody's going to be back.
Yeah, you can't.
You can say whatever number you want.
Yeah, but I'm saying that if you say, you know, 20% in every single increase, and it doesn't, I'll just go the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Then people will come, you know.
And you said, no, but then you just say you weren't sincere. That's all. And then they'll try harder. So something, you know, the Shastra says, or something Prabhupada's mentioned, he says if you do these things, it'll always increase, and all these things, then say.
Nectar of instruction, the first verse itself, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions about two aspects. One is Avirodha Preeti, that living entity wants unrestricted sense enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is Virodha Yukta Krodha.
Okay. I was going to say Vaya Krodha, it's just the Krodha.
Anger, which comes out of frustration. So the point in like mentioning all these activities, and then if a person sees only the material aspect without looking into the broader picture, and he wants it unrestrictedly, he's not just looking for the result, like, you know, what you're offering.
Mm-hmm.
And once it doesn't get fulfilled at some times, then immediately it runs into the other one. Especially among devotees, we see that when we say, okay, all your problems will be solved, this, that, mm-hmm. come to devotional service, and somebody accidentally dies or something happens in the family, that I completely off and lose. And this one I have very prominently seen, the side effects of that kind of preaching. And
he's pointing out that's the downside, because if they don't see the material results, then they make it frustrated and need it. So it should be that it's just a side thing, it's not the main thing. Because the point is, you please Krishna, that's the most pleasing, therefore then it's his energy, so things will go nicely. You know, but then you see, as sort of Prabhupada's mentioning, for those who, you know, are at one level, then Krishna is taking away. At another level, he gives. So the problem is, you have to go through the taking away before the giving. But there is sometimes the aspect as if if by giving you'll be inspired, you know, then that'll be there. But once you become more fixed, then the taking away may start.
I mean, it's individual, I guess.
Yeah, it's all right. Because the thing is, just whatever works. And if you're not attacked, what does it matter if you take away or give? So if you need an example for taking away, that'll be there. If you need to forgive, then it'll be there.
And the more clever thing is, before he takes a root, just give it up.
Oh. Well, that's an astrological thing. I remember one god brother who was into astrology. I mean, so good at that. He could just look at you, and by your physical thing, he could tell what you were. And everything, he would just take it down. And so then, he was saying is that it doesn't say that you won't lose your money. All it's saying is that at this point you'll lose your money. So if you're smart, you'll give it away in charity. And by that date, you will have no money. So therefore, you can either hold on to it and lose it and freak out, or give it away and be happy.
I mean. This is sensitive discussion. Instructing cycles.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like. Like, I've heard one Jew saying, like, we had a conversation, and he sincerely mentioned that I have no emotional attachment to money. And I know, like, he's 100% Jew. I was like, really? Is it even possible? But he is, actually. And it's very, you know, very rare.
Okay. Disappointed. I thought you would say something.
Something far out. Yeah, there would be something.
Then someone took his money.
So in other words, in the future he'd be one of the ones written into the Talmud or something.
Let's see. This is the saying, the Jewish saying is going, when you lose money or something happens to you, then you say to them, thanks for taking it with the money. You know, otherwise you could have taken something.
Just the money. Okay. Well, that's a good one. Oh, because it's so dear.
But not as dear.
That's what I'm saying. You took this dear instead of that.
So it's a fair deal.
Yeah.
It depends on who we're talking about. You take my sister, but not my brother.
Don't forget it's a Jewish brother. Doesn't matter how much you don't like them, they are yours.
Family's family.
They're yours.
Indians have no problem with anybody. We have 150 groups and all, so more groups, no problem. Less groups are not so much activity.
Yeah, not as much fun. Okay. If Dharma, by not taking support of Vasudeva, does not produce taste for descriptions of the Lord's pastimes, katasu, it will not produce results, shrama. This is stated because the taste for the Lord's topics is best, and in every case, the first result. Right. So the taste is the main result. These other things just come along with it, since you're doing such. The taste for other types of worship of the Lord is also indicated by this. The word eva indicates the temporary nature of swarga and other results of karma for enjoyment. The word he indicates that there is suitable proof in shruti. For instance, it is said, tad yateha karma jito loka kshiyate. The results of karma are temporary. Chandogya Upanishad 8.16. But, so you see, here is every word, and here he's mentioned he, right? Eva. So these all have, you know, so that's the meaning. There's nothing that doesn't have something. Does that make sense? Because sometimes in poetics they just throw in things to make it sound good.
That's how we used to view a text. There's the essence, the meaning of the text, and then there are so many things that they have no meaning.
You just catch those words. You're saying the Shastra doesn't have that.
Yeah.
So that's so important. You know, so then, you know, it's also that whatever the Acharyas say, all that is important. And every other explanation is important. Yes.
Also, that pastime of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur about the 24 and half, the half syllable about Kamagayatri. It's so serious, it's like fasting. Yeah. He couldn't understand where is that half, where is that half from.
Yeah.
And it is written by Krishnadas Kaviraj or somebody, it goes for me. So if he writes, it is correct. And I'm not understanding this. I'm such a fallen person, I don't have the purity, and I'm just going on and on, and the brother has to come to reveal to him.
I think it's because it's on the Gayatri, so it's a Vedic.
Yes, that's
it's a Vedic, what do you call it? Grammatical rule.
Cool.
Yes.
I've heard from another Sangha, but someone gave an interpretation, I think he was interpreting Jiva Goswami, where he says, for example, there are parts of Bhagavatam where Shukadeva Goswami, he saw some Brahma bodies in the crowd and he wanted to appease them. So certain sections, like on the universal form and things like that, he would speak for their benefit, and so it wouldn't necessarily have this direct connection.
Yeah, but where would he get that kind of concept from? I mean, I remember before that there was one ISKCON scholar that he was saying in the Bhagavatam that they're all, you know, these analogies are not real, they're just put there for some understanding, you know, like Pachina Barhishat, it's just an analogy. So you don't have to take it seriously. But what wasn't brought out is, even if it is an analogy, it's Narad Muni, the person talking to Maharaj Pachina Barhishat. That was real, that happened, and that conversation giving that analogy happened. But they were using it that we don't have to, you know, so they're relativizing things. It's just, you know, there was thrown out, and probably, you know, that's the only place I can think of it might come from. And now, you know, it's directly trying to say everything's relative. Because that's an essential point, you know. Yes?
Also, it's proved in Krishna Sandarbha itself that point on his speaking for the benefit of the Brahmavadis is correct, but that's why he's speaking it in a covered way, so that the Brahmavadis take what they want, and then the pure devotees can see the inner meaning of it, like how the gopis saw when Krishna is speaking about meditating on him in an impersonal way, then they saw about the aprakat leela.
Mm-hmm.
The aprakat leela and this Brahmavadis meditation, it's apparently the words used and the technique, how it is presented, is the same.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But
yes.
If you know, like as I said.
Yes, so that's the thing, it's there. But it's not that it's just for them, because the devotees, because let us say you take, because now we're talking about this whole thing of being very much more absorbed or connected to the material energy in one's service. So then, in the Gita, when you have the, you know, I am the taste of water, I am the light of the sun and the moon. You know, these are things that on the material platform you appreciate. But that what it is, it's Krishna that is appreciated. Anything you like, you know, like your floor, oh wow, yeah, how nice and smooth it is. That smoothness is Krishna. You know, or the brick, oh, so rustic, the rusticness is Krishna. Whatever it is, it's a beautiful day, that beauty is Krishna. So that's the thing, is that yes, the Brahma bodies for them is just a stepping stone to get up to even start and have faith, but for the devotees it takes care of those, you know, loose ends. So there's no such thing. These kind of talks, basically from that angle, are very detrimental for devotional service, because then they take out this whole thing. So that just means then the only thing left, because they're not understanding the philosophy and getting it, is always left is sahaja.
Yeah.
You know? So you have to know how to remove these things. What to remove. You know, otherwise, you know, you take out the, you know, the like I said, you take out the eye in the cataract. You know, so it's no. you know, or even worse, you know, baby in bath water, you keep the bath water throughout the baby, you know, it's like, it's a problem. Yeah, so it's just this idea that one's being very intelligent or giving something no one's ever heard before. That was, I mean, that was the big thing, I think, in the 90s. You have to tell a story that no one had heard before, or some new information that no one had heard. But at the same time, they were taking straight from Scripture, so it worked. Then in here, then you have to have your own opinion or philosophy, and these things, these aren't they're not going to benefit anybody, neither the speaker nor the person who's speaking. And the worst thing is the person who speaks it gets a worse reaction than the people who hear it. Like that. The Manu mentions, if you live a bogus philosophy, you get the result of that bogus philosophy. But if you preach it, you get 100 times the reaction. So therefore, if you preach these, means if you don't know, you just heard it, and oh, wow, that's cool, and say it, then it's just that one, but I'm sure you'll get something. But at the same time, but those who are convinced of it and then preach it, they'll get 100 times the reaction. So it's going to be, and so otherwise, why do things go down so fast in consciousness? Why do they get so overwhelmed by the modern academy so easily? Unless these things being preached is eroding their the consciousness in that area. Other areas might be still okay, but in this area, it's going very fast. Yes.
What we've noticed also is that some people, you know, like the example was given previously, say as if it is an absolute statement.
Right, yes.
But the difficulty is that, you know, devotees, they don't discriminate between an absolute and a contextual truth.
Right.
So, In order to establish absolute truth, Jiva Goswami writes that, you know, at the Chamsakala Pumsa, every devotee accepts it as it is. It's an axiom. You don't have to prove it. Still, Jiva Goswami goes and proves it. And Rupa Goswami also in Laku Bhagavatamrita. I mean, the whole book is just for that, for half of the verse, basically. But to establish contextual truth, it's even more complicated. So you really have to know what you're talking about. Otherwise, you just throw the statement. I mean, I'm not sure, you know, I mean, the circumstances differ. But it's not fair, actually, what you do to devotees. Because they just, no, really, because they just swallow it. And think, yeah, man, I've learned a lot. But actually, you came out from the class more confused than coming into the class. So to build that kind of frame of reference, it is possible, but you have to go, like we study, you have to go and build it up, and then you can like how Dharnitai Prabhu was saying. So then it kind of sounds okay, but just throwing it out and people don't know what to do with it, it's just not fair.
Yeah. There's also the point many times that we were, like, remember last year, specifically last year and maybe even the year before, purports in that, where it's talking about when you go, when it means us, because we're starting from the bottom, you actually go up through the levels of the conscious and also through the aspects. So you have to get to the understanding or appreciating the Shanta aspect before you move on to the other. Only when you appreciate, then you can take up a service, then you take. So it's like, it may be your natural rasa with Krishna is a higher rasa, but you're going to go up through the principles of these rasas, not the details, but the principles. So in that way, that means anybody who's conditioned has to go to the Shanta aspect. So then what he's speaking for the benefit of bringing the Brahma bodies to Shanta ras applies to us just as much as it does to them.
Yeah.
For them, that will be kind of like the main feature, and from that, then they'll appreciate. For us, it'll be a point we'll go through. So there's no question of it not being, because the contextual still is in context of a major point. You know, it's just like you give an example. It's contextual for the person you're giving the environment, but it's about supporting that main point, so it's real. But if you take it on its own, then it comes out of its position. Yeah. These are the things they should be teaching the teachers training.
Yeah, that's what I thought. This is actually Nyaya and Mimamsa.
Yeah.
So this is what usually in tradition people, I mean kids, learn first.
Right.
Then they can proceed further into like real philosophy.
Right.
But without that basis, it's like playing cricket. I don't know. Just hit the ball and then.
I'd be careful with that. That example is like a big sacred.
He's talking about baseball cricket.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Probably. I mean, for me, it's
not me. It's just. Okay.
Now he's got it.
What you're talking about is, I think, what you call stickball. The kids play in the street.
Yeah, yeah.
A tennis ball and a stick and whack it and run it. The fun part is to knock it through the window of the old lady and then see what happens. What you have to do to get it back. And, you know, so much stuff. Yes.
I have a question. Once I
learned
about a few books for specific audience, for people of the kind of religions, and the idea was to convince them to accept Krishna consciousness as a real way. And the idea was that it's a one way to go. We have only one way. But devotees also started to read these books and they
became Baha'is.
Yes, then they wrote, we only understand that it's no difference between us and Muslim and ours and Muslim and Christian books
It means in the principle it is, but the point is do you want to go farther?
Will I get 100 more?
No. Well, I mean, the reaction from doing the book is that, you know, then it's, what do you call it? You got published, so that adds more to your, you know, professor's position, and also selling the book, and you got some, you know, some benefits from that, so maybe it'll be 100 times more there. Yeah. Well, you said you're trying to do it. You just have to make sure that you're bringing out that point of that pure love of God, because the universal aspect is just like Krishna Prabhupada says about the sun. The sun, you can't say because it's over in this part of the world. It's a Christian sun, or it's throughout the earth. Now it's a Muslim sun, or it's a Hindu sun, or it's a, you know, Taoist sun, or, you know, like this. Or you can't say like that. It's sun. God is God. That's the thing. And everybody will say, God is God. I mean, what is it? I am who I am. You know? And I think you also have, that's the that'll be in the Bible. I think also the Quran has something like that. You know, God is who's who He is. And so you don't make up ideas. So that aspect remains, but you have to know is that's an eternal principle. It's spoken by different persons in different areas for different people at the time, and so then they can learn that absolute truth. You know what I'm saying? So if they follow the processes that are given based on the principles, they will advance, but they have to know the principles, otherwise they'll get stuck. Like I remember one devotee, I think there's a thing, I don't know what it's called, what the Arabic is for it. It means that every day you should give some charity. There's a name for that charity.
Sadaka.
Sadaka? Yeah.
Zakia.
So when he would go out shopping, then he'd get beggars. And he said, and you only have to give once, I think. And so then once he says, I've already given my donation today. Yeah, he gave it the office. So the guys would go away. You know?
So the guy. Oh, okay. So that's the second one. Only once a day.
Yes, so that was the second one. Yes, no, that wasn't. So he had already given, that way he gets rid of everybody. You know, because otherwise they all come and bother him and this and that. So then he would just say that and then Hari Bhav, I'll go.
So they can ask Sadaka.
Huh?
They can ask the other one.
Yeah. He said that. Who keeps going, I gave him the other side of town, you know, like that. some camel came up to me and was looking for it. I gave him some water or something. Yeah. Oh yeah, or probably it's like before he goes out, then you know he's going to leave. His wife comes over, takes something out of his wallet and all that, and then goes and says, "I've already given." Yeah, when charity begins at home.
Yeah,
yeah. So. Okay. So, the word kevala indicates. Oh. One more. Kevala indicates that the results of dharma which produce detachment and liberation are also not to be attained as well indicate the temporary nature of siddhis. Right? Because detachment and liberation are also temporary. Because you're detached today, tomorrow you're not. You get liberated, tomorrow you're not. You know, might be a bigger day, you know, but you know, you say it might be a Mahakalapura day, but the point is there that so the point what is given that's eternal. That's the thing you look for. So the point is yes, you do all these things, you have these attachments, you do all these different aspects of Dharma, and you're getting the benefits. But if you're not getting the benefit that's eternal, then it's a waste of time because all these things will be temporary. Whatever you get now, you want all these things, but later on they'll disturb you. The same thing will disturb you later. Does that make sense? So you have to be able to see through that point. That's the eternal religion. So in other words, eternal religion is eternal religion. And it may be given to people at different times about these things, but they have to be very careful that they're not saying, oh, but we could do that, but you didn't do that before. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing, is if you are a very orthodox, you know, follower of some religious system, you come in contact with this and you follow like this, then it's there. Like I've heard of, I think I've heard of two Christian priests, and they still practice their Christianity. They chant 16 rounds a day. They read the Bhagavatam, they're vegetarian, but they still do their things and they talk in that context.
My mother also very strict Muslim, but she also chants 16 rounds.
Yeah, yeah. So like that. And so then you talk the absolute truth through words that others say. But at the same time, at some point, these things get... Because even in the Vedic, people are giving up the whole, you know, the economic scene, the whole grahastha scene, and moving on to vanaprastha. So at some place it's always given up. So even there, it has to be given up. So it's just a matter of understanding that that's where it is. Otherwise, where are you going to get somewhere? So the point is we're following what the acharyas gave, and it's the you know nicest and quickest, and it includes all times of the day. How you can surrender at every moment of the day. That's why it's we're using the system.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.